I don't want to wait till we bow at his feet. He's as great today as he'll ever be. Amen. He sure is worthy. I don't know about you. It's easy to get wrapped up in our flesh and our everyday being. But that song, there's so much truth. Then sings my soul. Sometimes my flesh don't feel like singing. Amen. But I'm glad there's something in the depths of my heart, no matter where I am or what I'm going through. God's just so good to me, and I praise his holy name this morning, and he is worthy. And I was thinking as he's singing that song, what a tremendous thought to think about what God has sort of governed our hearts towards these last several weeks here in the month of February, and we're coming to a close. This will be our last service for the month of February. Tonight will be our last service, and God really burdened our hearts about preaching this whole month and focusing our minds in on that thought of focus. And I hope and pray it's been a help to me. And last couple weeks in your bulletin, you've noticed some blurriness, and you've seen some of last week's was a wiper blade wiping across the water out of the way so you could see. And I think me and Brother Tony was talking today. We don't see as good as we used to, especially when it's dark and raining. And sometimes that's how our spiritual ways are. Sometimes we don't see as good as we really need to see. And I was thinking, you know, as Brother Russell sung that song, if we could just get our minds and ideas and thoughts back to the place that we truly understand. We just sung a little bit ago that song, Redeemed. Do you realize that you were on your way to hell? Amen. But the God in heaven loved you, and you loved me enough to die for me. He bought me. He purchased me. I belong to him. And boy, we sure need to get our eyes and our heart and our minds focused back on those things. And we started our month off on that thought of the need of focus. And again, focusing, a lot of times the loss of focus is not a instant thing. It's gradual. Some of you that wear glasses know, if you could think back to how you went to that doctor for the first time and you think, well, I can see pretty good. But when he started clicking them buttons around, when he hit the right combination, he's like, whoa, wow, things looked a lot different, didn't it? And that's what we need to understand in our spiritual realm of our lives is sometimes we do lose focus. Sometimes we do get some dirt on the lenses. Sometimes we need to be refocused on what's important in our needs. So we started off on that thought of the need of focus, and then we looked at the focusing on our purpose. And what is your purpose this morning? Do you have a purpose? You do. But are you focused in on what your purpose is? And then we looked at our focusing on position. Where do you stand? And boy, today most people stand for nothing. Most people fall and are swayed by every wind of doctrine. But we need to focus in and be firmly planted, not on my ideas or my thoughts, but on his ways. So focusing in on his our position, and then we looked at focusing on our passion. What are you passionate about? You know, people get so passionate about so many things, and there's nothing wrong to have passion towards certain things, but our greatest passion this morning ought to be on God. And so we thought, we looked at that focusing on passion, and then this past Wednesday night we looked at three. We looked at our focusing on the positive. So many times we so much lean towards the negative, and we need to understand. Paul says, I think myself happy. He says also there in Philippians chapter 4, he says, think on these things. So we need to focus in how we think. Again, it doesn't per se change our circumstances, but when we have that positive idea and that positive direction that God is in control in the good and in the bad. And we looked at that thought of focusing in on the positive. We looked at the focusing in on the plan. There is a plan. Are you on that plan? God has a plan. It is his plan. And then we finished up Wednesday night on that thought of the focusing of promises and different things. So God's just got a lot of great things that we can focus in on. And the Word of God, oh my goodness, this is how we see. This is our mirror. You know, sometimes you go in the bathroom and you take that shower and the mirror gets all foggy and you can't see too good. And this mirror sometimes gets a little fogged up, and we sure need some. It's still the same. The mirror doesn't change. There's something that gets in the way. And that's where we need to see this morning is a focusing and refocusing. And the only thing better I could say that would be great for the day is if the Lord would come back. But we're closing out our month of focus or refocusing on one of the dearest men of God that I know. And I don't say that to puff him up, but I love Brother Hurst and Miss Hurst. They have been so faithful and are faithful. And to me, he's a great standard for you and I to see a man that has stood. His heart is still there in Micronesia. His heart is still there for those people. He mentioned this morning in prayer time that a typhoon clipped part of the islands there and they had some devastation. His heart, his mind is still loving and supporting the work there. And I appreciate God letting our paths cross and his love. And I do, brother, I do. I love you with all my heart. And I appreciate his stand throughout these years. And he's as solid today, I believe, as he's ever been. And it's just a joy. It's an honor, church. It really is to have Brother Hurst with us this morning. And again, what makes him what he is? The same God that I serve. And that's what I love about him. I love his humility. I love his heart for the things of God. And it just worked out. We were supposed to have him a few months back, several weeks back. Things just fell through the crack a little bit there. Didn't things go the way? And I believe God had it all drawn out that today was the day that we as a church needed to hear from Brother Hurst. So we're closing out our month of focus on a man of God, I believe, that's had some focus over the years that's kept him straight and walking in the ways of God. So you listen this morning, not just with your ears, but would you open your heart this morning and would you say, as Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." Would you let God remove whatever it is in your life that would keep you from seeing the Lord and let God speak to you this morning, as God would love to do that this morning. So, preacher, you come on and you mind the Lord this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I want to say right at the outset, it's a blessing and a joy for us to be here with you this morning. This is one of our favorite churches. We've got a lot of Christian friends down the way. That's one of the blessings of being a missionary. You get to see a lot of people and have a lot of friends. The older I get, the more I value those friends. Men like your pastor, and if there's anything in the world I could do to help him, I want to do it. I have sensed his love for me, and I sure have love in my heart for him and for this church. We Amen. Love you. In fact, I'm so glad this morning for the church.
Amen.
I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
But I'm talking about this
Amen.
One too.
Amen.
I have to confess that at 82 years old, some of my get up and go has got up and gone. And this morning, feeling kind of tired and weary, but my bucket's getting filled up this morning. I thank God for what we've experienced here this morning from the Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank you, church, for your generosity and for your expressions of love. You have one of the most patient pastors that's ever on the face of this earth. As he mentioned, we were supposed to be here a few weeks ago. Actually, it was a month or so ago. And we were in the hotel, nice room and everything. But my wife, I don't know why, but nowadays they make these beds so high you about have to have a ladder to get in them. Well, my wife has trouble with that. And by the way, I'm glad to have my wife with me.
Amen.
We passed 60 years back in December 27th. Thank the Lord for those years that we've had together. It's getting challenging now with this Alzheimer's, but we're going to go on by the grace of God.
Amen.
I was back to the hotel where we were a few weeks ago. Sometime during the night, I found out about it about 4 o'clock in the morning. My wife had slid out of the bed and hit the floor, and she had a compression fracture in the vertebrae in her lumbar. And so Pastor was so kind and considerate of us. We loaded her up and took her back to the emergency room in Greenville, and she has been going through some pain. Not with that, we discovered this week that she now has arthritis developing in the back. So we'd appreciate your prayers for her.
Amen.
But we're still going as much as the Lord will go. Let us go.
Amen.
Back in 2017, I went before our mission board and asked them. By the way, I've just finished 40 years with them. I went before them and asked them if there was something that I could be doing, because I want to do something for my Lord as long as I got breath.
Amen.
And they said, well, where is your heart? I said, it's in Guam. It's hard to leave those people. But I go where God wants me and do what I can for the Lord wherever He puts me. A few days ago, I got a letter from the Hendersons. Are they one of your missionaries?
Yes.
Pastor's probably already shared with you, but 30 professions of faith last year. 18 of them have been baptized in the first work that we did.
Amen.
And praise God for what He's doing there in the islands.
Amen.
That's in the village, folks, where we were told by a number of people, you can't build a Baptist church in that village. It's about 99.9% staunch, bulldogmatic Roman Catholic. And the Lord has reached down and saved souls and provided the way. But the picture that He had in that letter is in the house where we lived and where the church started and where it still is. And I'm telling you about one homesick old missionary. If I could have gotten on a plane right then, I'd have gone to Guam. thank God for it. Well, this morning, I tell you, I hope and pray, ask the Lord to let me share with you just a little bit of the blessings that I got. The other day, we had a rough day with Doris and going to the doctors and everything. And so that night, I just took a little short, about a two-hour nap, and I stayed up all night. I'm thinking along the same lines that your pastor has been saying, where are you now and where are you headed?
Amen.
As I look into the future here, and there's so many facets of the Christian life, as he said, we'll let some slack off a little bit and the light gets a little bit dim. But I just prayed and asked the Lord for clear directions on this, and thinking about my own life and what it has done for me, I believe the one most serious, most valuable facet of our Christian life is our prayer life.
Yes, sir.
I love this old book, and we can't get along without it.
Right.
I am not by any means this morning minimizing our plowing and studying and living in this precious book. In fact, this book has to do with what I want to share with you this morning. But the matter of prayer, we used to have a saying among the missionaries when we get on a missions conference and we're going to take a break, I said we go check in with headquarters.
Yeah.
Go check and pray with the Lord. This morning I want to share with you, if you'll turn with me please, to Luke chapter 18, just one verse. And we'll be looking through a number of verses today. But I hope the day that somehow the Spirit of God will get hold of our hearts, and I'm pointing, the thumb comes back to me as I point out. I hope that God will put in our heart a desire and a hunger for this matter called prayer.
Yes, sir.
When we talk about prayer, we're talking about, as Pastor said this morning, we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're not talking about just going checking with some business organization or going through some chain of command or some priest or some other religious figure. We're talking about going right to the throne of grace,
right,
where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
And intercedes for us this morning.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a privilege that we have. I can go back in my own mind when my dad was living, when I was growing up. We'd finish the work on the farm in the daytime, and at night after supper, we'd get out underneath two old walnut trees, and we'd sit there and talk till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. I certainly enjoyed talking and fellowshipping with my dad. I miss him dearly. But what a privilege to be able to talk with God in heaven. The one that spoke and brought this whole universe into existence. So this morning I would like to challenge us, challenge our hearts today, to really devote our hearts and our lives to prayer. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to guide and direct in this. I want His will this morning. Amen. I'm not trying to put on any show. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. But I pray this morning that God will speak to our hearts and burden us for this matter of prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, thank You for the blessings of this day already. For the good, sweet spirit, and good music, and good fellowship. Lord, for the love that's felt and sensed in this place. Thank You, Lord Jesus, today for Your precious word. If it were not for Your word, we would not know about this matter of prayer. But how we thank You today for Your precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And Your ruined, broken body, Lord, that You've vent the rail in two from top to bottom, that we could come boldly before Your throne of grace. Help us, Lord, today, I pray, to realize the value and the riches that are found at the throne of grace that You have opened up for us. We pray now, Lord Jesus, You'd guide and direct my thoughts, my mind, my heart. Lord, that Your will would be done through this message this morning. And we'll thank You and praise Your name for all that You do. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to start, on prayer. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest resource that a believer has. We have the Word of God, but if we can't have God to enact it in our lives, then we don't really have anything. In other words, you could sit down with the Bible and read through it, but how much of it is really soaking in and doing its work in our hearts? That's what makes the difference there. So with prayer, prayer opens the door to the great riches of God. God has great riches, and He's not sitting up there holding on to it and saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to let You have it or not. God is in heaven, and He wants to give us His riches. And I'm not talking about necessarily the material riches, though He does do that too. But we talk tonight, today, can call on Him, and He wants to give us the riches of glory in our hearts too. To the church, it opens the channel of guidance and the resources from the one that established the church. If you want to fix a car, you go back to the manufacturer, right? If you get to a problem and can't understand, you go to the manufacturer. We have a difficulty that we don't understand, we can go to the throne of grace, to one who knows all of it.
Amen.
To the troubled saint of God, when we go through the valleys and when we go through the troubles and the desperate situations, we can go to Him, and He gives us the comfort and the grace there as well. When we found that my wife back in Guam had the onset of dementia and then increased to what they diagnosed as Alzheimer's, it sealed our work there on Guam. But in the process, we had, even before we went to Guam on that term, had asked for someone to come and go with us, a young couple to work with us. So when we did encounter something like this, there'd be somebody that could step in and carry it on. Thank God, in Greenville, South Carolina, on a missions conference, a man went to the altar and saw him praying. I didn't even know him at that time. And the Spirit of God seemed to impress me that that might be the man. And sure enough, after the service, Brother Bill Henderson came to me and started asking about Guam. And today, as you well know, one of your missionaries is in that work in the village of Marizo in Guam. God can supply. Another thing that we have been blessed with there, ever since I've been on the island, I have been asking the Lord to let's have a fundamental work in each village. The Catholics do. You say that's not many people. Well, they have churches there, and many of them are filling up. So we want the truth to get in there. We want the Word of God to get in there. Well, we were the first work, and most of the original works were up at the upper end and in the center of the island where most of the people are, which is logical. But down in the southern end of the island, there wasn't anything there. Well, now we have the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Rita. We got Gospel Light Baptist Church in Marizo. We've got another work starting up in Inarahan. We've got another man that has come since I've left, and he's working up in the northern end. And last I heard, he's having 100 people in his meetings.
Amen.
God will answer prayer.
Amen.
And so this morning, I want us to look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say about this matter of prayer. I call this particular point the mandate of prayer. And we do have, as believers, mandates for prayer. Sometimes it's thought that only the pastors and the teachers and all, they're the ones that do the praying. Every born-again believer has a mandate to get on their knees before God and pray and bring praises to Him. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus is here, said, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. I don't know about you, but in my life in the past, it has been that sometimes I have more of an urge to pray. And sometimes that can kind of, as pastors say, that kind of gets foggy on the window. Sometimes there have been times when I felt like the ceilings were brass and I wasn't going anywhere. But I've also had times when it's felt like that God moved in there right beside of me and I could reach over and take Him by His hand. That's how close He felt to me.
Amen.
And I thank God for His blessing today, for the opportunity to pray and bring the needs before Him in prayer. In Guam before, I'm sorry, but that's what's down here. In Guam, when we were in 2002, when we were needing a building, there was about five of us men that would meet in the little storefront building that we were meeting in. And we'd meet there at 7 in the morning. We'd pray sometimes till 9 o'clock in the morning and ask the Lord for the church and to have His will. Well, you know the rest of the story, I think, by now, that He gave us 2 acres of land that had been sold for $800,000. He gave it to us for $80,000 and provided the money to pay for it.
Amen.
He not only provided the money to pay for the land, but He provided the money when we were down to $1,600 to build a building. You couldn't do that in North Carolina. He gave us the money to build a building, too. It's all paid for.
Amen.
And Brother Quinlan has added another building since then, and it's paid for, too. He said, I don't dare put any debt on this church. Praise God for that. So prayer, God answers these prayers. Not to quit praying. Not to quit praying. Keep on praying. I prayed for my mother's salvation from 1967 to 2002 when I finally got to hear her on her hospital bed ask the Lord to forgive her sins, to save her soul. I'll get to see my mama in heaven when I go back. John chapter 11 and verse 41. We're going to be jumping to some other scriptures here. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, first of all. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, praying, the heaven was opened. I'm showing you some examples today of this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who prayed.
Right.
He was God incarnate. He's no less God than God the Father or God the Spirit.
Right.
But everywhere He turns here, we find Him praying to heaven. He's praying as He's being baptized, initiating His ministry here on the earth. John chapter 11 and verse 41, Jesus stands before the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. He's praying to the Father before He calls for Lazarus to come forth. And he's notice in verse 41, it says, Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid, And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. What a blessing.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
One of these days, when Jesus comes back, I believe this is just my imagination here. And I can't give you chapter and verse on it, but I believe the Lord Jesus will turn to the Father and says, I'm going to get them today.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a blessing if he'd come back today and take us out of there? What a blessing that would be. But there's all that communications between him and the Father. But Jesus is demonstrating to us as sinners the matter of prayer, staying in touch, staying in communications, close communications with the Father. Then we look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. I was sharing with Sister Wank this morning about a friend I used to have, Clyde Carter, lived in Daint, Virginia. You go into the village of Daint, go right up, wind around a little hill, and he's right on top of the hill. And he told me one time that he had a radio broadcast, and also he had a little small church up there, and said he'd get up in the night sometimes. His wife would say, where are you going? And then she said, never mind, I know. He said, I'd go out there, and there was a power line, a high-tension power line, and went right over the top of the hill, too. He said, sometime, preacher, I'd go out there and get underneath that power line. That was my place to meet the Lord. And said, sometimes it felt like I retched up and got hold of the power lines. God met him there and answered his prayer, made his presence. And believe me, you can know when you got hold of the throne of God. You can sense his presence there with you. But whether you feel anything or not, we still have this mandate to pray.
Right.
Keep praying. Whether they say, I don't want to hear that anymore, you keep praying.
Amen.
If they will not let you in the house anymore, keep praying.
Right.
If you're up against a wall, it seems like there's no opening there, keep praying.
Amen.
He will answer that prayer. And in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued there, continued all night in prayer to God. Ever prayed all night? Ever prayed all night? When I was in college, amen. When I was in college, when the Lord led us down to the island of Dufusky in South Carolina, and there was a little building right beside the roadway, all grown over in vines at that time, they tell me that they used to go there and pray all night, Saturday night, for the service that's coming up in the church on Sunday morning. Where would we do, what would we do today to fill that gap? We need sometimes to committing us to the matter of prayer.
Amen.
Then we find I didn't put my book there. chapter 17, verse 20, whatever that book is, but it says, neither pray for these, but for them also which should become. That's John 17, verse 20, the high priestly prayer that I recognize now. But he said, don't pray. He said, I don't just pray for these alone, the apostles alone, but for them also which believe. Did you believe that when Jesus was there talking to the God in heaven, that he's praying for you and I today? I believe it's his prayers that brought us into the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in Mark chapter 6 and verse 41, where the little boy, and this is a precious story to me, they tell it as a child story, but I want to say, if that's a child story, I'm a child. But it touches my heart to see this little boy, and I can imagine here, Mama fixed him a lunch. She says, I want to go out. His boy says, I want to go out and hear the Jesus preached today. I want to be in the crowd. And she fixed him a lunch, and he went out to lunch and got there, and nobody else had anything. Andrew says, where are we going to get food for all of these people? Jesus said, you feed them. You know, sometimes we want to pass off our responsibilities and our opportunities to somebody else. Jesus said, no, you feed them. Thank the Lord, Jesus stood there and he prayed for the food that the little boy's lunch provided. And he fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus the women and the children. What a blessing there. But the point here is that Jesus has not only given us a mandate to pray, but he's given us a clear example of the importance of prayer, even in his ministry here on this earth. If it was important for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, had to give his life for our sins, if it was important for him, in fact, on the cross, prayed to the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, if it's important for him, how much more do we need time in the presence of God on our knees with a humble heart looking for him to save us? What a blessing we have in this matter of prayer. So there is our mandate to pray. The apostles taught this as well, as you know. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Through the apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit says, "You be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer," "and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." Prayer, if you look at the word, the meaning of it, according to Mr. Strong, if you look at the meaning of that word of prayer, it has to do with worship. The matter of supplication is the matter of asking. So this is why we have prayer and supplication. But it all comes together, doesn't it, when we get on our knees before the Lord, when we come before him. We first, I believe, need to worship him. In fact, the model prayer that Jesus says teaches the disciples that our Father, who art in heaven, we are praying to the God of the universe. We are praying the one with all power in heaven and earth. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning about the typhoon that's passing through the islands there. Thank the Lord it brushed the southern tip of the island of Guam, but it's kept on going north and west. So somebody over in Japan or China somewhere is going to get hit. We call ourselves in the typhoon alley, but the Philippines and Korea and all of them, they're at the end of the alley. They catch them all. But we've seen some mighty power of God over there. In World War II, there was a location there on the islands called Arode Point. On the top of the Arode Point is where a lot of the aircraft used to land during the wartime. I've seen the surges from the ocean hit that wall, which is 100 feet high, hit that wall and go up that wall and past. And that, I've told the people before, that's just a little bit of God's power. Just a little bit of God's power. He has mighty power. So the apostles here have taught us to pray in everything with supplication and with thanksgiving. How much more do we need to be thankful to God for what we have? I want to say this morning, on behalf of all of you who have a part in supporting this old missionary and my wife, every morning before we put a mouthful of food in our mouths, we pray and thank God for the saints of God that give and pray that we can be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are keenly aware of the fact of how dependent we are on God's people being faithful. So they're praying in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. We find here the word of God says, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God," thank God, "and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance." So praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does he mean by in the Spirit? That means that the Spirit of God has controlled us. In chapter 5 and verse 18, we were told to be filled with the Spirit of God. That means that we are controlled by the Spirit of God. So when we go before the Lord in prayer, that carries on through that as well, that we pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead us. In fact, Romans tells us that he will help us to pray if we don't know what to pray for. Thank God for that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, as the church was about to be born on the day of Pentecost, Acts 1 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren." The group of people that God was going to call to be his church, the original body, local body of believers, I believe. Here we find that they were praying and seeking God's face. How important was that to have a church begun by prayer? Tonight, folks, you are responsible really for the life of this church. And I'm not overlooking Jesus Christ. He is the founder and he is the foundation. He is the builder of the church. But today he leaves you and I the responsibility to be members of the church. And when I say member, I'm talking about a living organ of the church. That means that we need to put our heart into prayer and into the work, of course, as well. But if we pray, then we've got direction to do the work. If we pray faithfully, then we have the burden for the souls when we go beyond the walls. If we pray, we know we're going to bring the pastor before the throne of grace and give him power and wisdom to shepherd the flock. Prayer is so very important to the church today. And I pray that today that he will turn our hearts and our minds more toward the matter of prayer. In the Word of God, I don't know if you've ever looked at this or not, but in the Word of God, 310 times the word pray is there. 109 times the word prayer is there. 20 times praying, the verbal form of it. And then 65 of the past tense prayed. A total of 528 times in the Word of God, the word, one of the words or one of the forms of the word prayer is there. God's trying to tell us something through the Word of God, isn't he?
Right.
That we need to pray.
Yes.
And today I'm just scratching the surface, really, of the references of the times that we need to pray. So there we see the importance, the mandate of prayer and the method and the mandate and the importance of our prayer. Then we come to the manner of the prayer. We come before the Lord, first of all, with honesty. And right here, we could spend some time on it. Eloquent speech doesn't necessarily mean a prayer. One man said, prayer requires more heart than tongue. God looks on the inside and he knows what's on these old hearts of ours. If we pray for a person's salvation, and I'm not saying quit praying for them, but if we pray for a person for salvation and we're just saying their name and not feeling it in our heart and not meaning it in our heart, then I wonder about the value of the prayer. I may have shared this experience with you before, but one time there was a man there on Allen he was a Catholic, and my wife and I knocked on his door one day, and he cracked the door a little bit, and we talked to him some, and he expressed some dissatisfaction with the Roman Church, and so we started visiting and witnessing to him. And as time went on, God put him on my heart so heavy that I'd lay in my bed and cry. I'd wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock and I'd cry. I'd go to bed at night praying for Frank and cry. Well, one night, just before Christmas, my wife and I had been preparing the church for our Christmas activity and got home at about 11 that night. This man's wife called and said, "Pastor, would you come down here and see what's the matter with Frank?" I said, "What happened?" She said, "I don't know." I went down there in the little kitchen dining area. Was straight ahead, and to the left was the living room. I couldn't see Frank anywhere. And she said, "He's over there." On the right-hand wall, there was a little small chest freezer there. Frank was behind there and squatting down on the floor, had his Bible up to his chest like this, shaking. And I pulled up a chair beside him and said, "Frank, what's the matter?" He said, "I was just out underneath that shed working on something," and said, "all of a sudden I felt like a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and all of God's judgment is coming on me, and I'm scared." That night he got peace.
Amen.
Went through another 2 or 3 years. He was a very sick man toward the latter end of his life. And I got a call one Sunday morning, and his wife said, "I think something's wrong with Frank." And I went down there, and he had that old death rattle. And I stood on one side of his bed, and his wife and three girls stood on the other side of the bed. And when I knew, sensed that it was the last one coming, I said, "Good night, Frank. I'll see you in the morning." Thank God I'll get to see him in the morning. But I thank God tonight, today, for allowing me to have that experience, to know God showing an old missionary, prayer does work.
Amen.
Prayer does work. He wants to hear from us. I don't know if any of you have been away from home for a long time, and mom and daddy don't hear from you as regularly as I think they ought to. And you get to talk to them how sweet that renewed fellowship is. And today, how sweet it is to be able to talk with the creator of this universe. You don't have to go through an army of religious people to do it either. He's sitting ready to listen and to care for us. And so we go with honesty. Don't try to put on, don't try to ignore or excuse sin when we get on our knees before God. He knows what's down here. When we know that there's a sin there in our heart, in our life, we need to be honest with God. He's the only one that can take care of it for us. Amen. Then, again, the quote that I gave you a while ago, the prayer requires more heart than tongue. He knows our motive. He knows our manner of life. He knows our malady. Whatever we have going on in our life, He's already aware of it. Can you imagine one person having the knowledge of everyone? Just say this morning for this congregation,
right,
to know every thought that's in here, to know the hairs on the head,
right,
to know what they're facing tomorrow,
right,
or next few minutes. We don't have any foggy idea,
right,
but Jesus does, yes, knows every bit of it. So let's not try to put up a front and excuse sin or put up a front that we love Him so much. Just plead, instead of saying, "We love you so much," plead to Him, "Let me love you more.
Right.
Let me love you more." Then we pray humbly, realizing. Now, we've got two different terms here that seem on the surface to contradict. We need to pray humbly, but we also need to come boldly. Pray humbly, realizing that He is far above us. He has more power. He has more knowledge. He has more authority. He has more holiness. He's far above us in every aspect that you can imagine, and then some. So we come humbly before Him because we're communicating with Him, one that is so holy and so powerful. But then we find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6, says, "Let us therefore," and the "therefore" is there because Jesus, as you know, His broken body was represented by the veil of the temple. And that temple, the veil of that temple was rent from top to bottom, signifying, as this points out here in Hebrews, that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace. And when He says boldly, that doesn't mean brashly. It doesn't mean arrogantly. I have heard some people talk about praying to God and asking for something and demanding it from God. You don't demand anything from God. You ask humbly in His presence, but ask also in confidence and in faith, believing that He wants to fulfill it. It doesn't mean that we go like a whipped puppy there, but we go humbly and solemnly in front of the throne of grace. Because of the shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come before that throne of grace.
Amen.
Hasn't always been that way. The high priest used to have to go in there, but he'd have to have blood of his own to put on the altar. He had carried blood for himself, for his own sins. Jesus, thank God, when He applied His blood, it was permanent. It's still holding. We still go there on the merit of His precious shed blood. But then we also go regularly. I can't think of a better example than old Daniel for that.
You're right.
Daniel says he's not supposed to pray him, and it could cost him his life. But the Word of God says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," that is, that they were supposed to worship the king, "when the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." In other words, the threat of his life didn't stop him from praying. He talked about many times about, "We're not going to, can't pray here and you can't pray there. I want to give them a little bit of information here. As long as I have a mind, I can pray.
Right.
You're not going to stop me from praying.
Right.
I may not be able to pray aloud, but I can pray."
Right.
And I thank God for that. There was a lady there that I used to, when I was out late at night and needed prayer for particular issues, and a lady that from the island of Pohnpei that lived there, I'd call her and said, "Would you pray for something?" And boy, she'd get on her knees and she'd pray. I could count on her prayer life, and some of the men there as well. But then we find also he not only go regularly, but really believing, convinced. And folks, this is not a missionary saying this, not a preacher saying this. It's God saying this. Believe it, and you'll have it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, I'm sorry, verse 7, Luke 17 and verse 6. I beg your pardon, I'm trying to rush you. Luke 17 and verse 6, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now, I think the Lord here is just simply telling us, don't go out here and try to clear out a piece of property like this. Wouldn't recommend it. But I want to say today that that's the kind of power that we have if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds on the face of this earth. Jesus said, if you pray with that kind of faith, you'll have it. Then James chapter 4 and verse 2, "Ye lust and you have not, ye kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not."
Right.
Sometimes we look at things from a human perspective, when he said that just can't happen, that's an impossibility. That's where God steps in. When the things that are impossible are facing us, that's when we look for God to step in and do it. Because he is the God of the impossible. He can do the impossible things. That person, that hard-hearted person that won't even listen to the gospel anymore, there's a lady in the church in Tabernacle there that prayed for her husband for 27 years. Now he's in the church and that old hand's going up all along, how God is blessing his old heart. Thank God for him. Just keep praying. God is the God of the impossible. Then we have a quote here from Carey's Brotherhood. It says, prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. You know, you can sense a person when they're faithful on the going before the throne of grace. You can sense the Spirit in their life. Always be faithful there. So what is the result of all of this? And I realize I've probably got your roast burning in the oven, but I want to share this with you today. In the manifestation of a person that's praying, Ephesians 6 and verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly." That's twice he uses that word. It gives us boldness because we have direct communications with all the power of the universe, the throne of God. It's not going through the president, nor the head of any religion, not even your pastor. Go directly to the throne of grace. And they develop boldness to be a witness and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've only got 2 more pages. Colossians 1 and verse 11 says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's related to prayer. Then Mr. Mueller says, prayer is not merely an occasional impulse to which we respond when we are in trouble. Prayer is life attitude.
Right.
Do you realize when we right this moment that the Spirit of God is in you if you're saved?
Right. Yeah.
God's living in you. This is His temple. Then we find also in John chapter 15, and I'm finishing here. We find here that it brings forth fruit. John 15, we find there in verse 6 that in the work of God it saves souls. His work is accomplished. And the work of the witnessing and building the church. Then verse 5, it talks about much fruit. The fruit there, I believe, it covers a great deal of things. It covers your testimony, your growth. It covers the product of your work. A lot of ways that fruit it can be applied. And then we find here that it is an answered prayer in verse 7. We find in verse 11, full joy. Think about this today, folks. Full joy. You've meet up with a friend and said, how are you doing? Well, I just talked to Jesus.
Right.
I just talked to God in heaven.
Right.
And He says everything's all right.
Amen.
It gives us joy in our soul to know that our life is in line with what God in heaven wants.
Amen.
How do we get that? We get that, according to John 15, we get that through being in Christ Jesus. That is, being in close fellowship with Him through prayer or in the Word of God, of course. And then it also gets glory to God, and that's the ultimate purpose. Reading a book to the glory of His name. Why do we go to a mission field? Why do we go witnessing? Why do we live like we ought to according to the Bible? It's that we might bring glory to God.
Right.
That's the whole purpose. I believe, though He has all power in heaven and earth, and He can save us if we trust Christ as Savior, or He can send us to hell if we don't trust Him as Savior. He has all power in heaven and earth,
right.
And yet He allows us, the sinner, to communicate
right.
with Him, and He enjoys talking to us
Amen.
And working with us.
Amen.
So, what a blessing that we have today, folks. In this grace that He called prayer. Let's spend time. And I believe, again, that as you look to your future goals, directions, whatever the targets are of your work here and your ministry here and Gospel Light Baptist Church, I believe the key to the success of it will be Christians spending the time on the knees before God, asking God to carry out the work. Whatever we do, will fail. But if we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His power, it's going to last.
Amen.
He is the foundation.
Amen.
Pastor.